And now, here's part two of the Women's Mosaics conversation with Lulu Fernandez and Sharon Cousineau from the Clark County Volunteer Lawyers Program.
I'm Elizabeth Madrigal.
And I'm Karen Morrison.
And we're the hosts of the Women's Mosaic, where the real lives of women and girls are shared and
celebrated. In this space, we honor the feminine and amplify the voices of women speaking their truth.
The Women's Mosaic delves into the real lives of local women through story-rich interviews, learning what works and what doesn't to enhance the health and well-being of women in our community.
We strive to share unique perspectives, resource sharing, and instructions on how to be kind by any means necessary. Welcome to the Women's Mosaic. Today we are joined by Lulu Fernandez, Program Manager, and lawyer Sharon Cousineau, both with the Housing Justice Project at the Clark County Volunteer Lawyers Program. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you, nice to be here.
So to start off our conversation, we'd like to ask each of you to tell us one thing you'd like our listeners to know about you. So let's start with you, Sharon, and then Lulu, and it can be anything.
I'm not ready for this question. I had thought about it. I didn't write it down. So we'll start with Lulu. I'll think of something.
Okay. Well, if it can be anything, I'll share that in January, I started learning jujitsu.
Oh, nice.
So
that is great.
And something about me.
How's it going?
I love it. I love that it's physical, but it's also a mental puzzle. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that aspect of it.
What made you decide to study that and participate?
I had been considering doing it for a while, although felt that the kind of typical environments that you see that happening in, like certain gyms, felt uncomfortable for me. I wasn't really prepared to be in that space. And I found a really great gym in Portland called Femme Rising. And I started going there, and the environment feels much more comfortable for me, and it's just been really wonderful.
Nice. That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Okay, Sharon, did that give you enough time?
Yeah, I don't have as much of a fun fact as Lulu, but I guess what I want people to know is that I've always kind of thought I would land back in Vancouver with my career. I mean, when we first moved out here from Illinois, one of my first jobs was in Vancouver downtown when it was just a road, like Esther Short Park wasn't there. And
wow.
And I used to think to myself, you know, I might just end up here someday, like working, you know, you know, as I move on in my career. And here I am. So I love working in Vancouver and just being part of the community.
I know that there are eviction defense services, but if so, what would they be?
They would be, if you qualify for the program, a full representation by one of our attorneys. We also kind of work hand in hand with Northwest Justice Project. They also provide those services. But if you're sued and we take on your case, and we will if you qualify, basically we try to help. We try to find a defense. Which could be anything from improper service to, yes, you paid your rent, and they just don't have their books together, or improper notice, or, you know, there's all kinds of different defenses. But we would defend you, and if there's no defense or no way to sort of stop the eviction, we try to work with the landlords and, like I said, get a date certain that you would have to move out. And, you know, we also enter what's called orders of limited dissemination, which is an order that directs commercial screening companies not to enter the court case on a rental record for one of their Mm-hmm. For when it, for someone they're running a it's report a on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so what would justify that? You know, because we don't own our credit reports. You know, we don't own any of our information. So what would give you the legal right to request that, or is it a request or is it a demand?
Well, we normally work it out with the attorney for the landlord, and the, you know, the landlord and their attorney will get back to us and say, okay, yeah, we'll do that. But there is a statute that, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know exactly, but most of our clients come under other good cause. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there are things that they take into account. If a, like if you're asking a judge to enter it, if there is no agreement with the landlord and you say, well, Your Honor, we would like to enter this on behalf of our client, they take into account why you got behind in your rent, mm-hmm. how far you are behind in your rent, and just some other factors like that to decide, make the decision.
And so the judge actually approves that?
If you're asking the court, unless you come to an agreement with the landlord.
Right.
If you do that, then you just put it on the record.
Oh. So it won't cripple somebody's opportunity to get a new place by having an eviction on their you know, rental record.
Yeah. It's pretty important. It's a pretty big barrier mm-hmm. to getting new housing. So yes. it's a pretty important tool.
Do you offer legal assistance to people in languages other than English?
Absolutely, yes. So we utilize interpreting services. So if you were to call us and need that, we can accommodate that 100%.
Mm-hmm. So what are the main languages other than English that you use the services for?
I think in our community specifically, Spanish, Chukis, Russian, and Ukrainian. Those are some of the most often languages that I find to be requested, but we have served other communities as well and offered interpreting services for other communities too.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We both think it's great. It's like, twins.
Yeah.
So do your services include resource referrals or a tenant-landlord mediation? Or I know you communicate with the landlords, but does it rise to the level of actual mediation in some cases?
We don't provide a mediation. It used to be required under the COVID statutes. We would or the landlords and tenants were required to engage in mediation before their eviction lawsuit could go forward. And we did participate then, but we don't participate in mediation any longer. And Lulu can speak to that program.
Sure. So there is a program within our community, within Clark County, called CMS, or Community Mediation Services. And through their housing focus programs, they offer mediation and generally, you know, for tenants and landlords to resolve a variety of issues. And that includes, but of course is not limited to, non-payment of rent, repairs, lease violations. And ideally, their goal is to keep tenants housed and avoid the cost of a UDA case or mm-hmm. any type of eviction that might come.
Yeah, there seems to me that there should be an incentive for landlords to want to enter into mediation because it is mm-hmm. expensive for them, attorney fees and lost rental income and all those things, and then, you know, potential damage to the unit and people not leaving it clean or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So to me, it would seem like it would be an incentive. But do you run into that where the landlords, you know, it's like, I'm kicking them out? Or is there hope there?
Well, since we don't speak directly to landlords, I can't say that a landlord has ever said that to me.
Well, that's good.
But I will say in general, you know, I speak to tenants who share that sentiment, you know, that they're facing really strict just a really tight situation with landlords, and that there's sometimes an inflexibility there.
What are best practices for renters living in unsafe or unhealthy conditions while requesting landlords make repairs or cure the condition?
The best thing to do is to make sure your requests for repairs are in writing. Mm-hmm. It's really important to keep a record. Really, landlords aren't obligated to make the repairs unless your requests are in writing.
Oh.
So you need to make the request mm-hmm. in writing. And I always encourage people to use email because
yes.
you always have a right. You always keep that. Like mm-hmm. if you use text messages, that works too. But sometimes people lose their phones or they mm-hmm. get destroyed or lost or stolen. So make the written request, document your request. Other things you can do if the landlord just isn't responsive, you know, if it's a structural issue, you can call the city code enforcement. You can report common areas to mm-hmm. The health department. The health department normally won't do anything if it's just your environment,
your unit.
Yeah. But like I had someone tell me, a client tell me that they called the health department because there was bird poop on the sidewalk, and the health department came out and did something about it because it was a common area.
Wow.
Wow. I know. It's wow. crazy. And I just would also advise people, don't withhold your rent. If you're not getting the repairs, keep paying your rent. Because you lose your rights as a tenant when you stop paying your rent.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the old days, people would put their rent in an escrow account and this and that, but don't do that.
I mean, you still can do that. There still is a statute that allows you to do that, but it's very technical and complicated, and most people don't do it right. And honestly, I wouldn't even want to do it for a tenant because it's just such a hassle. Yeah. Just keep paying the rent.
That's right. Pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're listening to the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. We've been talking to Sharon Cousineau and Lulu Fernandez about the Clark County Volunteer Lawyers Program's Housing Justice Project. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and then continue our conversation when we come back.
KXRW is supported by founding partners Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs and within their budget. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. Today, our guests are Lulu Fernandez and Sharon Cousineau, who work with the Clark County Volunteer Lawyers Program's Housing Justice Project. Our conversation with them continues. Washington State initiated rent control last year, but there seems to be a lot of confusion still around it. Can you tell us how and if that legislation applies to all tenants or single family homes, apartments, mobile homes?
It generally applies to all tenants. There are some exceptions, such as when the property was built or certified. And there are some different technical exceptions. But generally, it applies to every rental. Rules are now that landlords can only raise rent by 7% plus inflation or 10%. So 10% would be the max.
So the lower of the two or the higher of the two?
Actually, I think it's the higher of the two.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a new requirement is that the notice has to be delivered 90 days ahead of the rent increase. It used to be 60. And it also this also applies to both lease renewals, like if you're renewing your lease for a term every time, or if you're on a month-to-month, you still have to get 90 days notice. And it has to be served by in the manner that's prescribed by the statute, and it also has to be sent to you certified mail. So those are kind of new. The certified mail is a new requirement.
So the certified mail, so the landlord has to send it certified mail.
Yes.
And then, you know, any responses need to be, you know, provable also.
Yes, you should always keep a record of every communication you have with your landlord.
That's exactly right.
And then you obviously can move out if you don't agree with the rent increase. Mm-hmm. And you should always give a landlord 20 days notice. You know, whether you, for whatever reason you're moving out, give them 20 days notice. And make sure that you move out before the next month starts. Because if you're there even on the first day of the month, you're charged for the entire month.
That's right.
So turn your key in on the last day of the month after you give them the 20 days notice.
Well, that's when I didn't realize.
Yeah.
You know, so you're there one day. It's not prorated like insurance.
No.
Okay. Got it.
They'll prorate it when you move in usually, but not when you move out.
Mm. We're learning a lot today.
Yes. Obviously, both tenants and landlords have legal rights. Can you explain what a good cause eviction is?
The main ones are non-payment of rent, violating the rules. Usually you'll get a lease and then you'll get a list of the rules and regulations. Any kind of criminal activity, whether it's you or your guest, and any kind of destruction of property, whether it's you or a guest. So those are the big ones.
I wish you'd include bad karaoke singers to that list, because I would have a complaint. Elizabeth usually gets them, but nothing's being done. So, yeah.
I mean, if that were a chronic problem, that might be included if they gave you enough notices. You're not listening. You're not stopping the karaoke. They might be able to make a case.
Yeah, there's hope.
Yeah, there is. You know what? We never thought about that, Elizabeth. Yeah. Especially when dogs are howling to it. I just, there's enough. It's enough. Mm-hmm.
So. She has a very unusual neighbor.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
Karaoke singer.
Yes, I want to be. So
what are the general eligibility criteria to qualify for free legal counsel, and how would a renter begin the process?
So we cannot guarantee free legal counsel, meaning we can't guarantee tenants extended full representation, which is something that happens in our right to counsel program. But in HJP, we can guarantee free legal advice for qualifying tenants. And we perform a financial screening, and then we proceed with a formal intake process. And tenants in Clark County who are right at or below 200% of the federal poverty line are likely to qualify. And if you're wondering if you do qualify, I always tell people just there's no harm in calling us and finding out. Sometimes people immediately will say, well, I probably don't qualify. And, you know, if you have 2 minutes, we can find out. I recommend that people call us and do just that.
And it's confidentially held information, so you don't need to worry about that.
Thank you. Yes, that's another thing folks sometimes worry about.
I think it's very, I mean, I just can't even imagine being evicted or, you know, being unable. Well, I can imagine being close on the rent. I remember the old days. But I really, I think there is some shame involved, you know, and that is something that can paralyze people.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that, you know, any counseling you might give them or advice you might give them is private is a really important point to make, I think.
Yes.
You know, that imbalance of power that you mentioned before, Lulu, you know, that's part of what makes renting so difficult. And then the uncertain environment of, you know, what is the rent increase going to be? I'm not going to get a raise to cover that, or I just got a raise, but guess what? It's only half of what my rental increase is going to be. You know, it makes it really hard. So landlords also have expenses going up. Their taxes are going up. Their insurance is going up.
Right.
And it's not all the bad landlord. You know, I mean, there are some really good landlords who don't raise the rent. And, you know, they have a good tenant. They want to keep the tenant. And but on the other hand, now we have rent control that's created some conflicts for them because they're like, well, if I don't rent it, you know, if I don't raise it, then I won't be able to do it next year. And I like these tenants, but if they have to move or, you know, so I can see that there's a lot of conflict, although I'm probably on the tenant side, if I'm truthful.
I'm always on the tenant side. Are there any misconceptions people have about tenant rights processes or landlord-tenant law that you would like to correct?
I would say the biggest misconception is if you're not getting things fixed, you can stop paying your rent. So don't stop paying your rent ever because, like I said, you lose your rights. And then just generally some best practices are to document every single communication that you have with your landlord. If you have an agreement or anything, you know, a request that you've made for a repair, if you have a record of it, that puts you in a much better position. And even if you talk to them on the phone or in person, I always tell clients this, just send them a quick email at the end of the day. Hey, we talked about this today. You know, this is what we decided. This is what you said to me. This is what I said to you. And then you have the record. Even if the landlord doesn't respond, you have the record. Document the condition of your unit when you move in and when you move out. And by that, I mean take photographs, date stamp photographs. Remember that eviction always requires a court process. Sometimes tenants get a notice and they don't think that they think they have to be out, like no matter what. You always have to be served. You always have a little bit more time than the notice says. You have to be served a summons and complaint. Obviously, if you don't want to deal with that and don't want to even have the potential of that going onto your record, you would want to move out before the notice expires. But just getting a notice is not eviction. It always has to be a court process. Landlords can only enforce rules that are written in the lease or in their rules and regulations. So if they're trying to make you do something that you didn't sign up for, they can't do that. And yeah, I think I've covered everything else already.
Okay, so one quick question. If a building transfers title, so it's sold or inherited or something like that, and you have a lease or you have a month-to-month, do you have any protections on being evicted?
Well, there always has to be cause for you to be evicted. So no matter who owns the building, if they want to do major renovations or they want to have their family, like if you live in a house and they want to have their family move in, they can evict you under those circumstances. That has to be a 90-day notice. And they have to show, or at least, this is kind of a hard one because let's say they say, well, I want my family to move into the house, and then you move out. You can be evicted by someone who just takes over the property if there's a good reason, if they're going to do a major renovation or if they're going to allow a family member to move in. And landlords are also technically required to send a notice to all tenants saying who they are, where they are, where you can pay the rent, so you know that there's a new owner.
And the dates when, you know, I had a friend who had an experience where they paid the old owner And the new owner said, you know, you're out. You didn't pay me. And he's like, well, nobody told me to pay anyone differently. And my old landlord, I trust him. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, that's the reason for the requirement that they send you notice that there's a new landlord and here's where you pay your rent and here's our name and address. Yeah, that's the reason.
And how do you verify that's real? I mean, there are all kinds of scams out there. Mm-hmm.
That is a tricky problem. I guess you would. I guess if it were me, I would call my former landlord and say, "Hey, is this?"
That's right. I'll check into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, same thing I do with my mortgage when they sell the servicing.
Right.
Yeah. You check.
Is this correct? So before we go, is there anything we haven't asked you that you would like to share?
I think I've shared everything, I'm hoping. I guess one thing I would like to let people know, if they don't, is that Clark County has the highest per capita eviction rate in the state. So that's one of the reasons we have such a housing problem in this county. We're working every day to address that and see what we can do to help people with it.
And that's very, very sad and disheartening to know that every time we are at City Hall or at the Clark County building that we are begging and pleading with them about our housing. And every time they say, well, we found housing, I'm like, just drive Mill Plain, drive around and see near the share house, drive around and see real numbers, real people, real lives. Get out of your car and walk and you will see where those numbers, I don't know who's finding those numbers, but the reality is our people right in front of us. Mm-hmm. In tents, families in vans, safe parks, tiny homes, doing all that. And so for us to have the highest in the state, that's very sad.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad.
But I am heartened that we do have the safe parks now and the safe sites, and that's only been in the last 3 years.
That's right.
That's an improvement. At least people have some place to go, you know.
Right. But there's more.
There's always more. Yeah.
We need to come up with some better solutions than saying we just don't, because other people are finding it. Other places at the same size, same demographics, they are having so much more success rates.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I don't understand where the eviction, drive is coming from. I mean, there's some reasonable explanations, but it seems like it's out of control. So,
thanks so much for being here, Lulu and Sharon. We appreciate everything you do to help keep our community's most vulnerable members housed.
For more information about the Housing Justice Project at the Clark County Volunteer Lawyers Program, please visit their website, ccvlp.org. That's Charlie Volunteer Lawyers Program.org. That concludes the second part of our interview with Lulu Fernandez and Sharon Cousineau of the Clark County Volunteer Lawyers Program's Housing Justice Project. If you'd like to hear part one of this interview, visit KXRW-FM and click on the Women's Mosaic show page where you'll find the streaming link. And that's our show. New episodes broadcast on the second and fourth Tuesdays, but you can stream any episode online anytime.
We are so grateful to our guests for sharing their knowledge and life experiences with us in their support of the health and well-being of women and girls.
So until next time, be kind by any means necessary.
And remember to honor your power.